December 2016. Inside WeWork's headquarters in New York, Adam Neumann was getting restless. His guest was running late, but this guest was worth waiting for. Like Kanye or Beyonce, he was known by only one name, Masa.
Masayoshi-san is CEO of SoftBank and also is credited with the most successful venture investment in the history of business.
That investment Scott Galloway is talking about was Masa's gamble on Alibaba, a giant company known as the Amazon of China.
He put $20 million based on sort of a gut instinct, if you will, which he's known for, making kind of snap decisions, you know, trust his instincts, which ultimately became an investment worth $100 billion.
Masa's instincts brought him a lot of new friends. Investors from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates entrusted him with billions of dollars. Now, armed with that money, Masa spent his time unicorn hunting. That is, he'd go searching for promising startups worth more than $1 billion, and then he'd offer them vast sums of cash, sometimes even more than they'd been asking for.
And SoftBank started winning every deal. And every venture capitalist in America was throwing up their arms and saying, we can't compete with this.
Adam had met Masa earlier that year and had been courting him ever since. But he wasn't getting anywhere. In fact, Masa had still never set foot inside a WeWork. But that was about to change. Finally, 2 hours late, Masa pulled up to the WeWork headquarters. As Adam greeted him, Masa looked at his watch.
I'm so sorry, but I only have 12 minutes.
If Adam was disappointed he didn't show it, he sped him through the tour of the building. When the tour was done, Masa invited Adam to take a ride with him. The pair got into the back seat of Masa's car. Adam pulled out his pitch deck, but Masa stopped him and took out an iPad. And right there, he wrote up a deal to invest $4.4 billion in Adam's company. At the bottom, he drew two horizontal lines. Masa signed his name in red capital letters. Adam signed in blue. A half hour later, Masa emailed Adam a copy of the deal. It was his fund's biggest investment in a U.S.-based company ever, and it would raise WeWork's value to about $20 billion. The whole meeting took 28 minutes. After it was all over, Adam raced uptown in a white chauffeured Maybach. He blasted rap music and stared at the deal he just made. The deal that was about to change everything. A few months later, Adam and his co-founder Miguel McKelvey went to Tokyo to cross the T's and dot the I's on the agreement. During the meeting, Masa turned to Adam and asked,
"In a fight, who wins? The smart guy or the crazy guy?"
Adam knew the correct answer.
"The crazy guy. Yes, but you and Miguel aren't crazy enough."
WeWork could be a trillion-dollar company, Masa said. So dream bigger. Unleash your wildest fantasies. He'd just given Adam $4 billion. Now, he was telling him to spend it.
I think that if you tell a 30-something-year-old that he is Jesus Christ, he's inclined to believe you. And I think when you have what is arguably one of the smartest investors in the world saying that this company is worth more than Ford Motor, and you're not being crazy enough, and I will put billions of dollars more into this, and the press loves you, and JP Morgan loves you, and CNBC loves you, it's hard not to believe that their love is warranted and justified.
Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Before as many victims, the search for justice is still alive because Epstein had help, lots of help. And on the newest season of Broken, host and investigator Tara Palmieri follows Epstein's survivors as they track down those who enabled and witnessed his crimes to hold them accountable. Broken, Seeking Justice is a podcast that documents the journey of these women to find out what justice looks like in their lives, including their battle against the government to change how it treats victims of child sex abuse. They're naming names, they're seeking justice, and sometimes they even find it. Listen to Broken, Seeking Justice wherever you get podcasts.
You can now binge the critically acclaimed Dr. Death Season 1 ad-free on Wondery Plus. Dr. Death Season 1 is a crazy show about 33 patients who all put their trust in one well-known surgeon, but some ended up maimed and others dead. Join Wondery Plus to binge Season 1 ad-free and start your free trial today.
from Wondery. I'm David Brown, the host of Business Wars, and this is We Crashed. This is episode 4, Think Crazy. SoftBank's investment in WeWork now put the company's worth at close to $20 billion. That enormous valuation grabbed Scott Galloway's attention. He ran some numbers on the back of a napkin, and he figured out something strange.
These individual floors were worth more than the building that they were leasing that floor in, which sort of didn't make any sense.
Sure, WeWork was cooler than other office-sharing companies, but really, how much value does being cool have?
Putting in place reclaimed wood and frosted glass and Herman Miller chairs and IPA beer on tap and one floor in an 8-floor building, that one floor be worth more than the building combined, that sort of raised, I don't want to call it my antennae, but immediately I started tracking the company.
WeWork was surrounded by buzzwords, lots and lots of buzzwords, or Scott calls it, yoga babble.
Probably the best performing sector in our economy right now are software as a service companies. So they decided, all right, SaaS. How can we become SaaS-like? So they came up with this notion of space as a service. Same letters, bingo. And all of a sudden they were a SaaS company.
Adam started referring to the way WeWork plans its office space as WeOS, as though figuring out a floor plan was somehow akin to developing a complex operating system. None of it made any sense to Scott, and pretty soon, he'd come to a conclusion which he shared publicly in a video for Business Insider.
WeWork is arguably the most overvalued company in the world. WeWork makes absolutely no sense. That is the perfect example of kind of this frothy market of consensual hallucination between the company and its investors.
At the time, people were outraged by Scott's video. Sure, journalists had always raised some questions about the WeWork business model, but no one was calling them out so boldly. After all, WeWork was exploding. Not only that, the company seemed to prove him wrong almost immediately.
And then just a short time later, its valuation doubled in the private markets.
And Scott wasn't the only one starting to raise red flags. A few months earlier, someone from inside the company had tried to warn the public that WeWork's numbers didn't add up.
WeWork sued me for allegedly leaking documents to Bloomberg.
Joanna Strange, the former employee who felt like she was trapped in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, things hadn't worked out between her and WeWork. She was fired in June of 2016. Just over a month later, an article appeared in Bloomberg. The story claimed WeWork had cut its profit projections by nearly 80%, and it cited confidential financial documents leaked by a company insider. WeWork would eventually accuse Joanna of leaking those documents, and the company later won a court judgment against her. That Bloomberg article revealed WeWork wasn't making nearly as much money as people thought. It was one of the first stories to reveal the company's shaky financials. But these were blips of dissent. Flush with Masa's cash, Adam was going on a shopping spree.
So they bought Meetup, which was an interesting little company that helped people gather around. They bought some software companies that helped plan logistics around co-working.
They snagged a construction startup so they could build new offices faster, a coding school to offer classes to WeWork members. Then came the biggest buy yet. WeWork spent $850 million to acquire the Lord & Taylor department store building on Manhattan's Fifth Avenue.
Drunken sailor doesn't even begin to describe the carelessness and the recklessness regarding the approach to spending money.
Oh, and Adam and Rebecca also spent tens of millions of their own money. They bought some Manhattan condos and turned them into a multi-story penthouse, adding to their collection of homes in Manhattan, Westchester, and the Hamptons. WeWork's bold moves and practically bottomless coffers were making their competitors nervous.
I was very impressed with the speed of their growth and their ambition.
Around this time, Adam set up a meeting with Jamie Odari, CEO of a WeWork competitor called Industrious. It was a chance for the two to talk shop.
There were a lot of things they were doing as a business that didn't totally make sense to me. And at the time, I thought, maybe they've got this next level strategy that I'm not getting, and they're kind of a couple moves ahead of us on the chessboard.
Jamie and Adam met at WeWork headquarters inside Adam's glass-walled corner office.
I feel like in a lot of movies, there's always like the scene where the cops go into this dance club, basically, and the owner of the club is in this giant glass box or kind of like room overlooking the club. And it kind of felt a little like that, like it was this panopticon thing or something.
Jamie arrived wearing a button-down shirt. Adam was in yoga pants. They spent a fair amount of time talking about religion. Then the conversation turned to business.
He was kind of getting excited about all sorts of different things, moving a mile a minute. We're chatting, and I had mentioned an acquisition we had just done. And he said, you know, we're doing a bit of investment ourselves. There's one I'm really excited about. Have you heard of Wave Garden? And I was like, oh, no. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, it's probably some really interesting either construction technology company or something that does like back-end data analytics.
Jamie was nervous. It was these types of investments that often had him wondering if his competitor was ahead of the game.
And he said, yeah, you know, it makes waves. I just thought that was like a metaphor for the fact that this was a business that was doing big things.
Adam pulled up a promo video for Wave Garden on YouTube.
And for the first 30 seconds, it was basically people surfing. And I'm just thinking to myself, they're really taking this making waves metaphor really far. And as the people kept surfing and the voiceover started,
we are proud to announce the Wave Garden Cove, a new generation surf facility capable of producing up to 1,000 perfect waves per hour.
There was a moment where I thought, oh my God, they literally make waves. They are buying a wave pool company.
Adam said he'd become an avid surfer. Jamie didn't know how to respond. Whatever WeWork's strategy was, it just didn't make sense to him.
That was probably one of the first moments where I'm like, or maybe it's just a little bit random.
Adam suggested he and Jamie tour each other's facilities. They easily could have done it in New York, but no, Adam wanted them to go to Atlanta on a private plane.
And then I got the invite from his assistant, and the plane was leaving at, I want to say, 6 a.m. from some private airport in the Hamptons, which is nowhere, you know, near where I live.
Jamie wrote back, I'll just meet you in Atlanta.
And they said, you know, actually, Mr. Newman insists. And I really don't know if he just wanted to spend the time on the plane together or if it was some kind of power play. But as a result, I basically had to take this 2-hour Uber ride.
The sun was just rising when Jamie arrived at the tiny airport. He boarded the plane with Adam and a few other WeWork executives.
All private planes look like they were designed by Donald Trump. I don't totally know why, but it's just always got white leather and gold trim and, you know, highly polished, like burled walnut and stuff like that. And this kind of looked like that, you know, generic private plane from a movie or something.
The group of them took seats around a table and the flight took off. Within minutes, the drinks came out.
It was like a boozy weekday breakfast, I guess. We had 2 Bloody Marys, and it was a little like, whoa, it's 7:15 in the morning on a weekday. I've never done this before, but it was fun.
Jamie felt relaxed, for the first hour at least.
And then he threw a real curveball at me that changed the tone of the rest of that flight.
40,000 feet somewhere over Virginia, Adam turned to Jamie and said, I'd love to talk a little one-on-one. They moved to the front of the plane and settled into a pair of lounge chairs side by side.
He essentially said, look, I like you. You're a nice guy. He referenced the fact that we were both Jewish, which seemed not that relevant in the moment.
And then, Jamie says, Adam began laying out his plan for bulldozing Jamie's company. To start with, he was going to offer a year of free membership at WeWork. He warned Jamie would immediately lose a third of his customers. And of the ones who didn't bite, Adam would offer them 2 years free. This would continue until there was nothing left of the business Jamie had spent the last 4 years building.
He said, Masa from SoftBank, when he met him, said, Adam, I like you. You're crazy. The only thing I wish were different about you is that you're not crazy enough. And, you know, he was telling me that anecdote in order to say, I'm not bluffing. This is exactly the kind of thing that I'm totally up for doing.
Jamie told Adam he didn't believe it.
I was absolutely convinced it was bullshit. There's no way a company would actually do that. This is an expensive business. It's not like giving away, you know, free $5 sunglasses samples. You would be, by definition, losing really scary amounts of money if you actually pursued that strategy.
As soon as the conversation was over, things went back to normal, as if Adam hadn't just threatened to crush Jamie's entire existence.
I wasn't actually that scared in the moment because I think I thought he was bluffing.
But a month later, Jamie says he caught wind of an email some of his tenants had received. It showed him Adam hadn't been bluffing at all.
They initiated this big, multi-city, multi-pronged attack and said, you know, we're going to poach all your customers. And, you know, office space isn't cheap. It's like the promise of free space or 6 months free or 12 months free or even more than that, that's really hard to say no to.
Not only was WeWork offering Jamie's customers a year rent-free, its brokers were making 5 or 10 times their normal commissions on these customers.
That meant they were losing even more money than what Adam had articulated to me that they were going to do.
And it didn't stop there. Jamie says they had a few instances of people touring their offices under fake names and writing down lists of their customers. He said it stopped after Jamie confronted a WeWork executive about it. Other tactics were even more brazen.
They created this office in a glass box that they would drive around Atlanta and park in front of our locations. The back of the truck is all made out of glass, and it's set up like a cute little, like, nicely appointed office. And so they would try to catch our customers coming in the morning and saying, you know, try sitting and working in here a little. Like, look how nice it would be.
Jamie was scared for his company's future.
There was probably 10 days of, you know, not getting great sleep at night.
But in the end, after a few months of WeWork's hardball tactics, most of Jamie's buildings had lost less than 5% of their tenants.
This helps bolster my conviction that we're focused on the right things, and our big, very formidable, very scary, very well-funded competitor is focused on the wrong things.
Jamie's company had survived a full frontal assault from WeWork. Adam and WeWork, by the way, declined to comment on Jamie's story about that plane trip. But this wasn't the only place where Adam was in overdrive. With Masa's bankroll and his encouragement to think crazy, Adam's vision was getting bigger and more aggressive than ever. You know, no matter how much we get good at optimizing our lives, there will always be mind-numbingly boring things we just have to do. Stand in line for the kids. Mom, Dad, sound familiar? Get the oil changed. Wait at the bus stop. All this is why I'm so thankful for Best Fiends, the new 5-star rated mobile puzzle game. When the bureaucracy of the world leaves me stranded at the DMV or waiting to board a plane, Best Fiends has my back. I can play a few, or okay, more like a dozen levels, and the time passes like that. I noticed recently that they treat the game like a service for their players, updating it monthly with new levels and events, so there are always surprises and it never gets old. And you know, best of all, Best Fiends doesn't require the internet to play, so it's great for traveling, if you're on a plane, train, wherever you find yourself. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. And trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. Download Best Fiends for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. So the question for any business owner out there is this: are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? Look, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That is what NetSuite by Oracle has set out to solve. Serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances, all in one place, in real time, right from that phone or your desktop. No more guessing, no more worrying that what you don't know could kill your company. That's why NetSuite customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500. And you can too. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/crashed. That's a free demo and a free guide today at netsuite.com/crashed. If Adam had been demanding before, now he was impossible to please. Masa kept pushing him to open even more locations on even shorter timelines. And WeWork was expanding its concept beyond office buildings. In the fall of 2017, a few months after Masa's investment, WeWork opened Rise by We, a luxe fitness center complete with yoga, a boxing studio, and a salt pool. That joined WeLive, a dorm-style communal apartment building that had opened a year earlier. With these new concepts, WeWork seemed to be tapping into a curated lifestyle millennials wanted. WeWork supporters and plenty of media outlets ate it up. Vice sent a camera crew to examine the novelty.
Sunday night family dinner at WeLive, followed by Monday morning breakfast at WeWork. It never ends. The WeWork circle of life is what it becomes. I'm very happy to have someone, you know, whether it's Big Brother or Big WeWork, sitting in Chelsea, picking out how these things should look. You just worry about living your life.
All the while, Adam's wife Rebecca was becoming an ever stronger force inside WeWork. Her official title was Chief Brand Officer, but to several former employees, it was unclear what Rebecca's role was. At a staff event in early 2018, she announced a new concept. By this point, Adam and Rebecca had five young kids. They were shopping around for private schools and spending tens of thousands of dollars on kindergarten for their oldest. But Rebecca was not impressed. She was upset that these schools weren't teaching her kids to be entrepreneurs. Rebecca's solution was to open an elementary school funded by her husband's company called We Grow. Children would learn to be entrepreneurs, spend time on a farm in upstate New York, study yoga. Rebecca would later say on the School of Greatness podcast,
like, it's a full circuit of what I call conscious entrepreneurship, creating for the benefit of. And they are learning everything from marketing to math to science. And then whatever it is that they don't understand, we call the WeWork employees in that department. Let's say it's branding, and they come down and they give a master class.
Wow.
The cost of enrolling a child as a member of WeGrow? As much as $42,000 a year. With initiatives like We Grow, We Live, and Rise by We, Adam and Rebecca were slowly but surely expanding into every aspect of life, even what employees should eat. Dick Markle was hired as WeWork's head of West Coast construction in 2018.
Once I joined WeWork, my wife said, "Did you ever realize that almost every picture of Adam Newman I see in either social media or in the news magazine, he's got his arms outstretched like Jesus?"
Dick laughed at his wife's observation and quickly brushed it off. He liked the company, even with its quirks. In July, Miguel sent out an email to every employee at the company on behalf of him and Adam. WeWork was going vegetarian.
The first announcement that came out is that we were no longer allowed to expense any meals or any entertainment expenses that included meat. We were also advised that we could no longer bring meat into any of the facilities. So that meant if you prepared a sandwich for yourself at home and wanted to eat it on the WeWork premises, you were no longer going to be allowed to do that if it was meat.
There were more than a few complaints. Within 24 hours, the company had backpedaled. Now you could bring meat onto WeWork premises, but expensing it would still not be allowed.
In the construction world, part of what we had to do was to entertain vendors. And if I had to entertain them and not be able to buy them a steak, it got to be a little challenging sometimes. Well, we ended up treating our clients and vendors to very nice fish dinners.
Adam and Miguel talked up the environmental benefits of a meatless life and other ways WeWork could heal the world. At All Hands, Adam spoke about being carbon-free by 2022, about being plastic-free. But here, too, there seemed to be a double standard.
You know, you have to realize that when you fly your corporate jet around the world, and you and your wife are the only people in that jet, that you're probably doing more damage to the environment than anybody at WeWork eating their meat sandwiches is going to have on the world, right? You know, at the time when all this no-meat policy was in effect, it's been reported in the news that Adam was actually enjoying lamb dinners.
For Dick, it wasn't just the hypocrisy.
I honestly believe that the methodologies that were used there, which I describe as programming, were essentially done in order to, you know, if you will, mind control. It sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it? Control the thinking and the thought process of the WeWork typical employees.
By the time Dick joined the company, WeWork Summer Camp had become a huge, sprawling event. After Masa's investment, it had gotten even bigger. Now, it was an annual tradition with performances by A-list musicians, with plenty of sex and drugs among the employees as part of the festivities. Dick's first summer camp was in Erridge Park in the UK, about an hour outside of London. Hours after he and his wife left San Francisco, they arrived in London and were ferried onto a bus to be taken to the park. Already, the day wasn't off to a great start.
We get off the bus, it's raining, and we were all given sort of some rain gear, but it was cold as well. So we ended up standing in line in order to get admitted to the park. 45 minutes standing in cold rain. And once you're in the park, then you have to find your assigned tent.
Dick and his wife were two of 5,000 people in attendance, and finding their tent meant searching among 2,000 or 3,000 tents.
My location happened to be part of the furthest away from the entry gate as you could possibly get. And once you get into the tent, you're provided a sleeping bag and some towels and what have you.
These weren't the corporate accommodations he was used to.
Even with all of my clothes on, with my sweaters on, and with my sleeping bag, I'm freezing my ass off in this tent and can't sleep at all. Besides, water is now starting to come into my tent as well.
Eventually, the morning came. Dick had been to other corporate retreats at other companies, and he assumed that this one would be more or less the same.
WeWork Summer Camp was a little different. There was no real learning activities. It was entirely somewhat of a social experiment, I'd say.
Instead, there were speeches from Adam, Rebecca, and Miguel. The three of them sat on stage, shaded from the sun by a white canopy. Giant LED screens flanked the stage, projecting close-ups of Adam to the crowd. Behind them, blue sky. WeWork employees sat on the grass, looking up. And Adam began talking about orphans.
There are 150 million orphans in this world today, and you use the word orphan, and it's such a horrible word, it already labels someone in such a specific way.
Dick was confused. What on earth did this have to do with renting office space?
If we do the work right, we could wake up one day and say we want to solve the problem of children without parents in this world. We can win and do it within 2 years. And then children in abusive situations. And then we can go to any minority or anyone who is weaker, who is getting taken advantage of, with someone who is more powerful. And from that, we can go to world hunger. And there's so many topics that we could take one by one. And we will be able to tackle anything that we set our minds to.
You'd look around yourself at summer camp and everybody, you'd be shaking their heads. Yeah, we're going to do this. And for me personally, I'm looking at it and going, really? We just need to get the next WeWork built, you know, not try and solve the world's child endangerment situation.
Adam's ambitions were spinning out of control, and so was his spending. He installed an infrared sauna and a cold plunge pool in his office. He ordered the renovation of several new offices, spending cash to replace furniture that had barely been used. And new WeWork buildings kept opening up all over the world. In September of 2018, WeWork became Manhattan's largest tenant, renting more than 5 million square feet in the city. Masa was considering taking a majority stake in WeWork and giving it another $16 billion. But Masa also had investors to answer to, and now even they were getting nervous. So in the fall of 2019, Masa arranged for Adam to meet with the head of Abu Dhabi's Sovereign Wealth Fund, the tiny Emirati state that was co-financing Masa's investment. Adam strode into the St. Regis in Manhattan. He showed up late, wearing sunglasses. And worst of all, he looked hungover. This was not the way to impress the guy who held WeWork's purse strings. Soon after this meeting, the planned $16 billion follow-up investment was taken off the table. Instead, SoftBank put up just $2 billion. That may sound like it's still a lot of money, but the smaller-than-expected investment was a signal. A signal that SoftBank's confidence in WeWork might be waning. It also meant WeWork, with all its spending, needed to find another way to get a quick cash infusion. They started planning for an IPO. In December 2018, WeWork confidentially filed the first paperwork they needed to go public. To the outside world, WeWork projected like everything was fine. The company even kicked off 2019 with a bold name change.
The startup said Tuesday it's rebranding itself as the We Company.
And clearly the CEO is signaling here they want to be more than just co-working.
That is exactly what Adam was signaling. And that seemed to excite plenty of his supporters, including actor-turned-investor Ashton Kutcher. When the two of them appeared on CNBC together, Adam was asked whether he was disappointed by the reduced size of the SoftBank investment. Before he could answer, Ashton stepped in.
It's the second largest venture capital investment of all time. I'm an investor in Uber, so I know what the first largest one was.
And because that deal didn't happen, does that change your thoughts on an IPO timeline?
So, not at all. WeWork is always ready for an IPO. We will choose the right time to do it when it's correct for the mission of the company.
What are you looking for?
I want to elevate the world's consciousness.
Scott Galloway wasn't buying any of it. He thought WeWork's mission, the new concepts like WeGrow, were absurd.
I think when you develop a sense of hubris that says, okay, I am good at, let's assume they're really good at co-working, to believe that that translates into your ability around primary education, in my opinion, shows an extraordinary lack of self-awareness. The We Live, the notion that they started a gym, they started all these ancillary concepts that didn't seem to have anything in common other than a belief that they could do it or that maybe community had some role here.
As 2019 kicked off, Scott Galloway was talking with Kara Swisher on Pivot, the podcast they co-host. And he made a prophecy.
This is both a lose and prediction for 2019. My prediction is 19 is going to be a very bad year for WeWork.
Oh, interesting.
And if you saw what happened.
Indeed, 2019 would be the year when WeWork's chickens came home to roost. And Scott Galloway and the other WeWork skeptics would look a lot less crazy.
We have a lot of inside dealing and a lot of that centered around their CEO, Adam Neumann.
Believe it or not, they lost more money last year than even Uber did. They burnt through $1.9 billion in cash, and that was actually greater than the amount of money they brought in, their revenue.
I don't want WeWork. I mean, I don't want WeWork at any price. I just think that it's just, it's too top of the world, Ma. I mean, I just don't want it.
That's on the next episode of We Crashed. From Wondery, this is episode 4 of 6 of We Crashed, about what happens when idealism and greed run headlong into business reality. You can subscribe to We Crashed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to hear more great business stories, you can subscribe to another Wondery podcast I host called Business Wars, which takes you inside some of the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And you can get access to both series ad-free on Wondery Plus at wondery.com/PLUS. If you like what you've heard, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe. Another way to support us is by answering a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I'm your host, David Brown. Natalie Robomed wrote this story. Heather Schrering reported this story. Sound design by Jake Gorski. Our consultants are Corey Weinberg for the information and Scott Galloway. Additional reporting by Sarah Kessler. Our associate producer is Caleb Bissinger. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman, George Lavender, and Marcia Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki Boyer, host of The Daily Smile. Jasmine Williams found her destiny at just 14 years old.
I just remember it sounded so cool, so dope. It was like rap and MC and monologue and fillings and everything. And that was my first introduction. I said, I want to do that.
Now she's sharing her passion and her art with people all over the world. Listen to Coming Full Circle at the Poetry Lounge on The Daily Smile on Wondery Plus, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.